ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. Brother Johnny, the Crescent City, New Orleans, Louisiana. Johnny!
Deep south here. It's nice and muggy, Stevie J.
Hell, it is New Orleans in June. Brother, it's Mike Ditka. Coach, you in Chicago?
I'm in Chicago, I am.
All right, last night.
Just gave everybody that mental edge to go for the kill. You know, we wanted to put them away and, you know, listen to my message.
Defense has something to do with it. Just missing shots has something to do with it. But no matter how you slice it, it's 10 for 33. Missing shots, not shooting well, and turning it over is a bad combination.
Game two of the NBA Finals has been turned into a rout. The Miami Heat with a strong end of third quarter, fourth quarter, dominating here in game two.
All right, it was pretty easy with a 33-5 run late third into the fourth, Mike. Heat asserted themselves, now back to San Antonio.
Well, you know, I think San Antonio came out of there with a one win. I don't think too many people expected that, I'll be honest with you. I think you saw the game, turnovers, missed shots. I mean, you can't win if you turn the ball over. First game, they had no turnovers. Yesterday, they had five turnovers in the first four minutes, I think. So yeah, I think you just can't play that way. They know that, and they're a good team, and I think they'll bounce back. Now, are they good enough to beat Miami? I don't know. Miami's awfully good.
I'll tell you one thing, and, of course, there's always these great plays in these big games, and Thiago Splitter, Steve, a Brazilian. For the fans out there that don't know him, he's about 7 feet, 235, and Tony Parker hit him with the pass, and he's coming straight down the middle of the lane. He goes up in the air, and he's probably 3 feet above the rim of that bar, doing one of those roundhouse dunks.
Yeah.
But at the top of the arc of his dunk, here's LeBron James' hand, and that ball stops. The ball stops. Try that on your rotator cuff, Mike. Holy cow!
Well, that was unbelievable. And LeBron James is. He's unbelievable. He's a magnificent athlete, and Miami. I think if people, you took Miami. I think it's a better team, but the better team doesn't always win. I mean, I think they have better players. Let's put it that way. I don't know if they're a better team. I think when San Antonio plays well as a team, good. But they didn't. They turned the ball over. They missed their shots. A lot of things happened. But you got to give Miami credit. They needed to win this game, and they did.
Yeah, and I tell you, it was close all the way to the end of the third quarter, Steve. That was a surprising win to me. And really, LeBron didn't do a whole lot on offense, but all in all, they hit some threes.
Johnny didn't try to do anything.
Right.
He passed the ball. He played defense. I tell you, I thought their defense was outstanding. I thought Miami really went up a big notch on defense.
Well, I think, Steve, LeBron, sometimes he kind of reminds me of the Tyrannosaurus Rex in Jurassic Park 2, when he's nudging the little baby dinosaur, eat the lawyer now, eat the lawyer, teaching the baby how to eat the lawyer.
Yeah.
But he's trying to get him involved. But also, San Antonio's picked up the idea of shutting him down, and he's kicking it out to people that are making shots.
Yeah.
So
he is making.
It's an interesting series, because I think, Mike, I think you're right. San Antonio can actually do it, but
We'll see what happens. And, hey, listen, they got to play two more, five more, actually.
Well, they got to make shots, and when you make shots, you look really good. I don't understand why there isn't some massive injury with guys hitting their heads on the rim. I mean, it's unbelievable how high they are.
Well, John used to do that all the time.
Yeah, right.
I have to wear a helmet.
I did. In the backyard, we had it down to 6.5 feet, but I couldn't do that anymore. But, Steve, they're just so athletic and so used to that in there, and they managed to keep their head out of the way, but, boy, you're right. They're all around it. Or their arms and elbows, at least.
Unbelievable how high they go. It is remarkable athleticism. Dennis Rodman said that LeBron would be an average player in the 90s. I don't know what he was watching, Mike. I don't know what he's smoking.
He is absolutely. They had a picture of him in the paper with the blonde hair and the lipstick and the eye makeup. What a jagball.
And
for him to think that anybody would believe anything he said, that he has any credibility, it's totally amazing.
Well,
there are people out there, I guess, that like that, that say, oh, that's a good look. Wow. Hey, Ray for Dennis Rodman.
Listen, Dennis Rodman is one of our top diplomats, So.
Yeah.
Well, I think we saw in Men in Black, didn't we? Always point to the end scene. They kind of gave it away. He's not even from the planet.
Yeah,
he's from another planet.
Right. All right. It's 7:39. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. It's ESPN and the new Sunny 95.3. This guy named Edward Snowden, you're going to hear from him. This is a rather extended cut. This is the guy that is the, quote, whistleblower from the NSA. And it, this came out yesterday. The Guardian newspaper, Great Britain, had it. But listen to this guy, and then we'll comment from Mike and Johnny.
My name is Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old. I work for Booz Allen Hamilton as an infrastructure analyst for NSA in Hawaii. NSA and the intelligence community in general is focused on getting intelligence wherever it can, by any means possible, that it believes on the grounds of sort of a self-certification that they serve the national interest. Originally, we saw that focus very narrowly tailored as foreign intelligence gathered overseas. Now, increasingly, we see that it's happening domestically. And to do that, they, the NSA specifically, targets the communications of everyone. It ingests them by default. It collects them in its system, and it filters them, and it analyzes them, and it measures them, and it stores them for periods of time, simply because that's the easiest, most efficient, and most valuable way to achieve these ends. So while they may be intending to target someone associated with a foreign government or someone that they suspect of terrorism, they're collecting your communications to do so. Any analyst at any time can target anyone, any selector anywhere. Where those communications will be picked up depends on the range of the sensor networks and the authorities that that analyst is empowered with. Not all analysts have the ability to target everything, but I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
One of the extraordinary parts about this episode is that usually whistleblowers
model. When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy. And if you do that in secret consistently, you know, as the government does when it wants to benefit from a secret action that it took, it'll kind of give its officials a mandate to go, hey, you know, tell the press about this thing and that thing, so the public is on our side. But they rarely, if ever, do that when an abuse occurs. That falls to individual citizens, but they're typically maligned. You know, it becomes a thing of these people are against the country, they're against the government, and in their interests. And the months ahead, the years ahead, it's only going to get worse, until eventually there will be a time where policies will change, because the only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. There's that we face in the world, you know, some new and unpredicted threat. We need more authority. We need more power. And there will be nothing the people can do at that point to oppose it. And it'll be turnkey tyranny.
Turnkey tyranny. Johnny, is this guy a criminal? Is he a patriot?
Well, I think, see, I don't like the term whistleblower. You say what's right, and you tell people they're doing things that are wrong, and now you're a whistleblower. It's kind of like when you point out that somebody's covering something up, you're a conspiracy buff. It's a way to demean the truth and another way to keep doing what you're doing. But this whole thing, I don't know, Mike. I'm all for being able to catch the bad guys, but they're wasting a lot of time, and they're definitely starting to use their security cover for political purposes, and that's what we oppose, and that's what is unconstitutional.
Well, you know, I understand, just like you said. I mean, I know why it's in place. I mean, you want to catch the bad guy. You want to stop terrorists. You want to stop bad things from happening, and any tip you can get on that, I understand. But you're talking about everyday people. You're just talking about the common people. They have all your phone records. They have everything. They can do anything they want to do. And that's not right. The government doesn't have. The government is a government for the people, by the people. But when you do the things that they're doing now, then, you know, everybody's working for the government, and that's not the way it is. The government should be working for everybody.
I'll tell you too. The other thing, Steve, that does become obvious as they look through our 100 million phone calls a day. They're kind of wasting time when the Russians are actually calling us on the regular line to tell us, you got to watch this guy in Boston, and we're too busy tracing Mike, you and me talking.
John, that's a great point. It's terrific, yes.
It's like, why don't you pay attention to
possible.
But I got this guy in Amarillo, Texas, that didn't pay taxes on $150.
Yeah, that's
right. I don't know. It's like putting the net out in the Pacific looking for tuna, and you're getting a whole bunch of other fish in that net and wasting time and energy, I would think. Because the fact that you can target anybody, I guess, is no shock today. The fact that you collect it all, and then what the worry is, you go back and they have this data, and they can build a case and say, why was that phone call made? You know, what phone call? I mean, it's just crazy detail.
Exactly.
Missing way too much. But I don't know. This guy's in Hong Kong. He said, I just wanted to tell, I didn't want the attention, but now that he's on record, like, this is straight out of a Mission Impossible, and you know what the CIA down the street in Hong Kong will do to this guy. Now that is he safer because he's been on TV? I don't know, but it certainly sounds like the guy, you know, is in some trouble.
Well, and of course he was with, you know, in the CIA, and they have rules against that, I'm sure. But on the other hand, I think what he's worried about is the abuse of the position he and many others are in. And so I think he is, from the standpoint of patriotism, he is intending to help our freedom by saying they're over the line on what they're doing. They need to pull back and stick with what the mission is, which is to protect the American people, not spy on them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference.
But you have a young guy, 29, single, has a girlfriend living in Hawaii, making 200-plus benefits, and he's going to flee to Hong Kong, give up his life. He says, I don't ever expect to see my home again. I mean, you have to be pretty passionate in something to do that. I mean, he didn't sell the ideas. He could have. He didn't do anything. He wanted to come out and say...
He tried to correct the wrong, that's all. He tried to make a wrong... understood by other people. That's all he was trying to do. Now, is his life probably screwed up? Probably a little bit, but I mean, there's a lot of good in this world. Maybe it's not.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, when we come back, we'll talk U.S. Open Golf. That's next, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. We are back with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. It's always a pleasure to have these gentlemen on our radio station. We want to talk about Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Marion Golf Club. Mike, have you ever played there?
I have, but it's been a long, long time. I mean, and it is the shot maker's golf course. It's not a course where you just whack the ball long. I mean, it's really I listened to Tiger a little bit this morning, and talking about the greens. He said you just can't miss it on certain, get on certain parts of the green. He said it becomes very, very hard to two-putt. And that's basically it's put the ball in position, keep the ball in the fairway, and try to get the ball on the right side of the green. And he said, you know, you go around there, and I don't know, you know, these guys are so good today, I wouldn't put anything past them, but I wouldn't say anybody's going to tear it up.
Well, I'll tell you, when you start talking about putting on the right side of the green, I'm already out of that company.
Yeah, well, the right side of the golf course.
No, but you're right. You are 100% correct, because if you're up high on some of these greens, you can't get it close.
It is. But these guys are so talented. Again, you know, you remember when U.S. Opens played for years, guys, it was right around par that won it, or maybe one over, two over, 100, 200. It was right around par all the time. Now, with the talent these guys have, I don't attribute to the equipment. I just attribute to these guys are good. I mean, I'm watching yesterday. Yeah, he hit a nine. It's 165 yards. He hit a nine iron. That's 179 yards. He hit an eight iron.
How are they doing that?
I don't know. And it's making me mad.
Well, now, there's 20 or 30 yards of equipment there, I guarantee
well,
you.
Well, yeah, but John, I mean, you're lying. You get on it, it's a par 3, looks out, it says playing 169 or something like that. I'm sure it was 169. And the guy's hit a 9-iron.
No.
The other guy hit an 8-iron. Okay,
yeah.
I understand that. But a 9-iron, I mean, I don't care. I mean, these guys generate so much club head speed. You can say it's the club. But that club ain't going to do nothing unless that club is moving through the ball at the right speed.
And then you got to hit it square.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's not so easy. The Marion Golf Club side of the U.S. Open this week is always fun. They have under 7,000 yards, which is short by the standards of the U.S. Open. There is a 628-yard par 5. There's a 115-yard par 3. And the other three par 3s are over 2,000. 40. What's that, Mike, a 7? Is that a 7? Why?
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's what it is. I'm just telling you. It's going to make him hit. It's a shot maker's golf course. And yeah, I say that, but when saying that, you better make putts. I mean, it's like anything else. I watched that thing yesterday, and gosh, I mean, these guys are magnificent athletes to me.
And you go through the list, you try to pick winners, and I don't know how you do that anymore because it could be just about anybody. But Steve, who do you got?
Well, is it Tiger? It's been 5 years for Tiger. He has been playing.
It's been a while. No, it's been 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was when he won on a broken leg on the extra 18 or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that was when he really went kind of hit a slump because he had to slow down. But he is definitely getting his mind right, so he should be up there in the mix.
I think
Mickelson played well yesterday, I thought.
He played terrific golf yesterday, I thought, as well. That shot on 18, Mike, he said, go in.
Great. That was terrific.
You can't hit that shot to a foot. Man,
I mean,
it almost bounced in, and he's going. After he hits it, he says, go in. I said, really?
Yeah.
You can do that?
He almost did.
I mean,
get over the water. Get over the water.
I've said go in plenty of times, but it's been water-related. Anyway, it's always fun. Finally, I did want to touch on the St. Louis Cardinals. Anybody noticing just how good these guys are? It's amazing. The best record in baseball, Johnny.
You know, they keep replenishing. I mean, they are. You're right. They're amazing. And God, you got to give that organization a tremendous amount of credit, because if you were to ask somebody to name that lineup, I doubt it. Very many people could name too many people in that lineup.
That is
the truth. I mean, they got guys that can play. I mean, we know some of the pitchers, we know Molina, but you know, there's not much really. I mean, you know, these guys are just guys that they all play. I mean, they're all good players, and evidently the manager's pretty good, and the organization's got to be pretty solid. So it's good to see that.
It's amazing pitching, Johnny. Amazing pitching.
Sam Usual would be proud.
Yeah, he would.
Well, they have a formula or a philosophy, or maybe it's just a stance, but whatever it is, St. Louis has it going in baseball.
Yeah, it's remarkable to watch them, because the pitching, again, they had a little problem in that 6th, 7th inning area now, but they seem to have figured out. Their starting pitching's been amazing. They've had injuries, but they plug a guy in from AAA who comes up and looks terrific. I don't know how they come up and look so calm and they pitch so well, but it's fun to watch the Cardinals. We carry them here on 93.5, and even the Cubbies won yesterday, so I was happy to see that.
Yeah, and Steve, I was down here deep south, Louisiana. I haven't heard that much about the Cubs.
No,
what's up?
Yeah, the Cubs are...
Well, there's nothing to hear about the Cubs.
Hey, Mike, I think they're better than the White Sox.
Well, the White Sox won yesterday, too. We had a big weekend. The Blackhawks won, the White Sox won, and the Cubs won.
And the Blackhawks going to win a Stanley Cup, Mike?
I'll tell you what, I would say they were, but I have never seen anything like what happened with Boston, how they won. They shouldn't have been out of Toronto. They shouldn't have got out of Toronto. They got out of Toronto, and the way they handled Pittsburgh was incredible, guys. It looked like men playing boys.
Mm.
I mean, they looked Pittsburgh. They looked the best hockey players, two of the best hockey players in the world. They made them look just like average guys. So I think they're going to have their hands full, but I like the Blackhawks. I really do.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll leave it there, but I'll call you Friday. That'll be after the first round of the U.S. Open. It's going to be fun. But listen, always a pleasure to have both of you on. Thank you as ever so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Bless you too. It's Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, here on ESPN 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3 each and every Monday and Friday from 7:30 to 8.